Amen. And Regine had that story, that witness that we have also share with us. But not also there's, I just want to share a story with you today, because Brother Wayne came here last Wednesday. Not only that we are not here, but we decided to go. We have our prayer in at home. But also when he came in here, there's no light. So here comes light and the light. So I called Edison last Thursday, and he said that your light, there's somebody request to be disconnected. I mean, who will disconnect? We have been here for almost 18, 20 years. So there's no light. And I said, no, you know what? That's a mistake. And the lady is kind enough. She said, okay, I'm going to restore it back. But you have something to do. I said, what's that? You have to go to the back panel of the back of the building. And, you know, the switch or the plug, the breaker, take it out and invert it and put it back. So I went there last Thursday, and there's no more light here. So I had to go back there, but it's closed. It's locked. There's a padlock. So I went, I called Dan, and then Friday, and then it's Friday, it's not there. So I said, man, what are we going to do? Sunday we're going to have a service. So we came in there, and I saw the guy that works there on the other next door. And I said, so how you doing, Bill? He said, I'm doing good. He said, what time is your service? I said, we have a 10 o'clock service. Oh, my gosh. So you know what? When we start banging around there, we know that we are doing in there. I said, that's okay. But you know what, Pastor, I just want to share with you. You know, last Sunday, you guys are singing. And that song, and then you start crying. I said, that song that you guys sang, it reminds me of my mom. He passed away last Thursday. And he started crying. And you know what I said? I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, Bill. And sometimes God allows those things to happen in our life. And most of the time, it's either Christmas, Thanksgiving, Mother's Day. So he said, you know what? She's only 81 years old. But that song that you sang last Sunday, so I don't want to be emotional, but you know what? Sometimes we don't know. We sing here, maybe we're not affecting the whole world, the area. But you know what? Only God knows. I'm glad that guy is here with me. So he said, Ed, tell me what's going on with your electricity. I said, you know what? Somebody requested, and I called the Edison, and they said I have to go back to the back panel. But I said, Bill, it's locked. I said, come on, let's go. So he went there. He know the combination. And then I said, that's our number. So he took out the circuit breaker, turned it upside down, put it back. He said, check up your electricity. And then he said, yeah, there's light. I mean, God, I said, what? I said, you know, Bill, they're going to chastise me if there is no light. But God is good, isn't it? God is good. Huh? Amen? So we are here today. And I'm glad that, we paid our bills. It's an automatic payment, right, Sister Camille? No? Yeah. So I brought my bill. I said, just in case somebody will come up here and here's it's fully paid. I don't know. Somebody. I huh? Yeah. I don't know. Amen. But God work miracles, isn't it? Work miracles, and probably God wants us to be here today. And so I prepared this sermon, this message this morning, and it's Christmas time. We think that it's a good season and it's great. And but when you had been sharing the word of God for so many years, 20 years, 18 years. And you got 18 years of Christmas messages. And he said, what else you can share? And not only that you hear it here, probably you hear it somewhere else, the message of Christmas. So there's nothing new, right? There's nothing new that I might give you the message, but I believe that God wants us to hear this message this morning. Amen? So I want you to open your Bible in the book of John. And the name of this message this morning is Four Christmas Surprises. How many of you have a surprise that a Christmas gift and you're surprised that you have that? How many of you got a surprise gift? Anybody? Sister Mia? Oh, you get engaged. Yeah, that's right. That's right, huh? You get engaged during that Christmas service, huh? Christmas Eve, yeah. How about anybody? I know Irvin when he was small. He wants to have a basketball. So we have to surprise him. So the size is like a size of the basketball, but when he opens it, it's a globe. It's a globe, it's not a basketball. And also, I asked Sister Rose, a motorcycle. I like motorcycle. So he said, yeah, we'll buy you a motorcycle. To him, I was looking for a size of a motorcycle. But you know what I got? A motorcycle indeed. It's a Harley. Brother Ray, it's a Harley. It's a Sportster. The most expensive Harley Davidson. It's a two-seater, though. So, but that's, there's so much surprises in Christmas. Amen? And this is a different kind of message because most of the messages that we get for Christmas it's either Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And the three gospel, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the message that they have is you see in Matthew there's the genealogy, right? And they tell even to John the Baptist and all of this detailed thing. The same thing in Mark and Luke. But in John, they see that this is what do you call it? Synoptic gospel, right? What's a synoptic gospel? Like an overview. It's not a detailed one. It's a synopsis. It's not a detailed compared to the other three gospel. So that means there's something that John share with here compared to the other three gospel. Amen. So that's why it's something different. So are you there already? Did you open your Bible? In John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And the title is Four Christmas Surprises. Amen. Are you all there already? And I want you to read it in your version, and I'm going to read it in my version, the New International Version. And we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 17 or 18. We'll finish it up that thing. Not the whole verse, but it's talking about the birth of Jesus Christ. Are you there already? Okay. Verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John." John, who is this John? John the Baptist. Okay. The author, the writer of the verse that we have is John who? John the Beloved. Okay, so there's two John here. So the one is writing, or the one that's telling us here, is John the Beloved, the one that Jesus loved most, right? So verse 6, "There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John, John the Baptist." Not because he's the Baptist is not about the denomination of Baptist. Baptist, he called him Baptist because he's the one baptizing people. Okay? "So he came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Verse 15, "John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Verse 18, "No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." Okay, that's
That's the verse that we have this morning. But I just want to read you in the J.B. Phillips translation. Okay? And here's how J.B. Phillips translated the verse that we read this morning. This one, it's in New King James, I believe, or King James. But this one, J.B. Phillips, it says, "At the beginning, God expressed himself. That personal expression, that word, was with God and was God. And he existed with God from the beginning. All creation took place through him, and none took place without him. In him appeared life, and this life was the light of mankind. The light still shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out." Verse 6, "A man called John was sent by God as a witness to the light, so that any man who heard this testimony might believe in the light. This man was not himself the light. He was sent simply as a personal witness to that light. That was the true light which shines upon every man as he comes into the world. He came into the world he had created, and the world failed to recognize him. He came into his own creation, and his own people would not accept him. Yet whenever men did accept him, he gave them the power to become sons of God. These were the men who truly believed in him, and their birth depended not on the course of nature, nor on any impulse or plan of man, but on God. So the Word of God became human being and lived amongst us. We saw his splendor, the splendor as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. And it was about him that John stood up and testified, exclaiming, 'Here is the one I was speaking about when I said that although he would come after me, he would always be in front of me, for he existed before I was born. Indeed, every one of us has shared in his riches. There is a grace in our lives because of his grace. For a while, the law was given by Moses. Love and truth came through Jesus Christ. It is true that no one has ever seen God at any time, yet the divine and only Son who lives in the closest intimacy with the Father has made him known." Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning. Thank you for these scriptures that you set before us today. And Father, we pray as we dig in, as we search, Father, we pray that you will reveal to us, Lord God, the things that you have not written, that you have written, so that we may be thoroughly perfect in doing your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So here, we're looking for four surprises that we might find in this verse that we have. And because there's a lot of surprises in the Christmas and the Christmas story, and lots of marvelous things that are hard to figure out how the natural mind comprehend. Think of the fact that Isaiah the prophet prophesied about Jesus Christ coming as a virgin would give a birth to a child, and a woman who never knew a man would become pregnant. That is the mystery of Christmas. And that one alone, it's a wonder of Christmas. A lot of that sermon comes out from that prophecy that Isaiah did. And the fact that Micah, 100 years before Jesus Christ was born, he prophesied that the Messiah would born in the town of Bethlehem. How could that be? When Mary they live in Nazareth. So that alone, it's another surprise that we have in the Christmas. Then a wise man from the east that would see a star. That's again another surprise. How in the world these three wise men at the east would seek for the birth of that of little baby. How about the shepherds who are watching their sheep? Had angel announced them, not a preacher, not a priest. So a company of angels announced them. Now those are surprises in the Christmas stories. But the four that I'm going to tell you, it will come in a different aspect, because we are reading in the gospel which is different than the other three gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Amen. So, but John does not begin with Matthew as with the genealogy, like Luke, the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth. Mark just leave it all that out and begins with the revelation and John the Baptist is preaching. But John goes back and says, in the beginning was the Word. And he talks about the pre-existence of Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And it was hidden at the bosoms of the Father. That means in the closest fellowship with the Father. See how John started with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So there's in John is saying there's the closeness between the Father and the Son. He brought the subject that is too hard to understand. In the beginning was the Word, and that Word was God, was Logos. It means the thought, the expression of thought, that in the beginning was the Word. So John is saying that in the beginning, the thought of God is already on that Son, Jesus Christ. You don't know anything about a person, what are they feeling, until that person start talking, right? And Jesus was the language of God, is the expression of God. And what God wanted to reveal about himself, he sent Jesus Christ to us, so that he will be able to describe the persona of who he is. Amen? But the Word was not only in the beginning with God. He existed way before Mary and Bethlehem. But the Word, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, was with God, had a personality, was in fellowship with God, and yet God, the mystery of the Godhead. So there is only one God, but exists the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the Gospel of John comes from the whole different perspective. And it goes on to say that everything that was created by and through the Son, the thought of God. So John tells us the amazing things in a way Matthew, Mark, and Luke tells us. John is coming from a totally different angle. This was the disciple of Jesus Christ that is close to him, close to Jesus Christ. He was the one who kept leaning on Jesus Christ. Remember that Last Supper? That guy that's leaning at the shoulder of Jesus Christ, that's John, right? So, the first amazing thing about the Christmas story, but according to John, there's no manger, no wise men, no shepherd for John. John is going deeper than that. And the first amazing thing that he tells us about Christmas story is that, the number one is that he was the world. He was created, and though he created the world, though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. So the first surprises that John is telling us is that the world did not recognize him. Although he created the world, he is Emmanuel. He is with us. The Emmanuel came to the world and he created. When Jesus walked and saw the mountain, he understood that the mountain became, because he made all the mountains. He don't think about that, right? John the Beloved is coming from a deep water and saying, the Logos, the one that everything was created, it was created by him, And that's Jesus Christ. And the Son of the living God came and walked into the world. What world? He walked in the earth that He created. He created everything. Emmanuel, God with us. When He looked up the stars at night, what do you think He will say? Oh, that was Pluto. Oh, that was Mercury. Oh, that's Neptune. That's He named all of those things. All of those millions of galaxies. He named all of these things. And it's amazing thing about the incarnation. God became flesh. And He named all the... So He came to His own world. Emmanuel walks on this earth 2,000 years ago. God Himself walked on this earth. He came in the human form and He was God. And He walks on the earth. He came to His own world, the world He created. And the amazing thing, John said that the world did not recognize Him. Can you imagine? The world that He created did not recognize Him. The word means perceive or understand or comprehend or discern who it was. In other words, God was 3 feet from them, but yet they did not know Him. You think it surprised you? It surprised me. How? We might say that it's good for us because we have the Bible, right? But for them, they don't have a Bible. They don't have the written word of God. But God revealing to them, walking with them. Amen? Do you think a star leading wise men is an amazing fact? Do you think virgin birth is hard to believe? How about this? The world did not recognize their own creator. Now that makes you stop and pause and think. How in the world did not recognize Him? God came to the world that He created, and the world that He created did not recognize Him. The system, its value, its culture, the people did not recognize their own creator. In other words, there was no discernment, no insight in the way who He really was. The senior citizen, the elders, bump into Him, heard Him speak in the mountain, or heard Him speak in the temple. That was God talking to them. Did you think they knew Him? They did not even get it. The older people who were supposedly know Him, young people full of energy studying the first five books of the gospel, of the Bible, the Pentateuch, studying the law of Moses and reading about the lamb that will be slain every morning, every night, and without shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sin. There He was, 3 feet away from them. They did not know Him. Men did not know it. Women did not know it. Teenagers did not know it. John said, the one of the most amazing facts in the history of the world is that Creator of the universe came, and His own Creator did not have a clue of who He was. Can you imagine that? I mean, before he was in a physical form, but God is only a breath away from you and me. Do you know how close you are to God? Just say the name of Jesus and He is there. He is as close as you mention His name. I think there's a song for that. When He wake up every morning, who do you think give us breath? When you get up, who give you strength every day? How many know who give you strength every day? God give you strength. But do we recognize Him? We get credit to the vitamins. We get credit to the Red Bulls. Or what's that? Red Bulls? Or vitamin C that we eat? Those Energizer, those Nitro, those Monster, He make you strong. But who really give you strength? It's the Lord. But we get credit for those things. Right? God is working. God is giving us our strength. But do we recognize Him? God is showing mercy. God is showing patience. God is helping you and me every day of our life. So the amazing fact is the world was so lack in the physical world, they would not comprehend the moral glory and the excellence of the Son of the living God. God was right with them. Nobody went home and said, "Mom, I hear God teach us today." Nobody said, "You know what? Honey, God protected me from that accident. God put a shield in my life." But praise the Lord that this church recognize that God is with us. You know what? I don't know what God instilled for us in 2016, but all we know is God just put us here in this place next to that center. I don't know. But God, I believe that God is still working to each one of us. Amen? Remember, when Jesus came, He did not come in the full glory of God. He emptied Himself, the Bible says, that He emptied Himself, that glory, that He limited Himself to a shape of a man. And the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 53 that He had no outstanding physical characteristic that anybody would attract Him. In other words, if you see Jesus Christ in the street, unless you have the discernment, you would say He is an ordinary guy. Do you think when He entered into this room, everybody would say, God is here? No, because you could not perceive and discern, or you would have missed God Himself. This is more amazing than any shepherd nor angels. The creator of the universe came to His own, and His own world did not recognize Him. Why is that? Did you ever ask that question? Why is it that God Himself, the creator of the world, when He came to His own world, they did not recognize Him? That is why even Christians who go to the church get all excited about the movie stars, about the singers, about the athletes. They think that great than a missionary who gave himself to life, or prayer warrior who is in touch with God. They don't see the greatness of that. They worship the greatness that the world sees, who is dominating the five senses. Remember, Pastor Armando talked about us, the five senses that determines of who we are and our destiny. That five senses controls us. And this Christmas, God wants us to have the eyes of our heart so that we can perceive the things that God is doing in our midst. You know, God is doing a lot more than you think He's doing. You think that God is not in control? He knows exactly what's going on in this world. And have you seen this newspaper published back east that he said that God did not do something? God exactly know what's going on. Amen? And God wants us to have the eyes of our heart, and especially this Christmas. Amen? That is why the message of the seven churches in Revelation, again and again, in seven times, he said, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Amen? But he's not talking about having the ears here. You can have the ear working perfectly and not hear a thing that is God is saying. You can have a 2020 vision, but not see what God is doing. So, amazing fact number one is that He came to the world, to this earth, that He created, and His own creation did not recognize Him. Amen? But more than that, John tells us, surprise number two, He came to His own, that the world and that word was not in a male or female, but it's a neuter gender, and it is his own. Receive him not. In other words, he came to his own property. He came to his own things. He came to his own domain. He came to his own kingdom. And the second word, but his own did not receive him. So it switches to a masculine plural. His own people, own pickup, once did not receive him. John says, here's another amazing thing, greater than any angel-seeing shepherd. God came to his own world, and the world did not receive him. And the word receive, it means welcome him or take him in. In fact, they rejected him. He ended up in the cross. John says this so amazing. He came to his own domain. He came and walked on this earth. He created. He came to his own house, as it were, and his own people, men and women, black people, white people, brown people, coconut people, educated people, uneducated, rich people, poor people, did not receive him. Isn't that amazing? They analyze him. They listen to him. They say, no way, Jose. No way, Jose, that this guy is God. And that is why the Bible says, don't love the world or the things in this world, because the world has never changed. If Jesus came again in a physical form, the world would even reject him again. Amen? Why would that be? Why would the Son of the Living God came full of love, only wanting to help people, only wants to help you and me here in this building? How many knows that Jesus only wants to help us? Jesus did not come to condemn the world. Why in the world would not receive him? Have you ever asked about that? There's two main reasons among others. First of all, because he was light. And the light reveals darkness. And the people who live in the dark and do things in the dark, they don't want to be pulled into the light. Because light reveals all kinds of things. Amen? One day, I was putting my socks, and I thought it's the same color. But as we pull back in the garage, my socks, the other one is brown and the other one is gray. So, what does it mean? Because when you are in the light, there's something wrong. Your sock doesn't match. And that's how light will expose darkness. I remember there's two guys here came in here, 2003. The two guys. And when on their way back, going home, I said, do you guys live together? Yeah, Pastor Ed, we live together. And then the following Sunday, they came back and said, Pastor Ed, we want to be on the choir. Remember that, Sister Camille? I don't know what the word about homosexuality that I share. After 3 weeks, three Sundays they came, the fourth Sunday they didn't show up. Because their sin has been exposed. Their sin has been exposed because light, that's why Jesus Christ they hated most, because when Jesus Christ came, their sin has been exposed. Amen? Their sin has been exposed, and that's why they could not accept Jesus Christ, because Jesus' lie, the message of Jesus Christ, the life that he is revealing, he reveals sins. And people don't like to be told that they are doing something wrong. People wants to be loved, but no change what they do. Right? And they, that's why a lot of people come in here. When their sin is being exposed, they don't come back. So I'm glad that you guys are here. Amen? People, when their sin exposed, when the gossip start to come out, you know what? They could not stand when their sin are being exposed. That's why they don't come back. But praise the Lord, there is a remnant that God has saved us. Amen? The fool hates correction, and the world is characterized by a foolishness that says, if you want to be my friend, just tell me the wonderful thing, but don't tell me about that you're going to correct me. But Jesus is not that kind of friend to any of us. When you go to the doctor, he does not tell you what you hear, what you want to hear. The doctor just tells you the truth, right? If you have a cancer in your colon, he will just not tell you, go home, Ed. You will be fine. No, he just tells you the truth. You have a problem. And that one, the reason why he came to his own, and his own receive him not. Because Jesus revealed sin. And if you are living here today, he loves you so much, he will not make a treaty with sin in your life. Amen? I start crying, but no tears coming out. Except my nose. Amen. Oh, you guys are learning? Amen. Are you with me? Amen. So that's the reason, the first reason, because Jesus Christ revealed sin. Second, he told people to follow him, which means submission to his lordship. And people do not want to hear, people like to hear just, go for it. Follow your dreams. And a lot of preachers preaching that kind of message. Yeah, go ahead, don't worry about what sin are you doing, but just follow your heart. Follow your dream, go for it, be the man, go girl, go. Do you know what Jesus said to him, to John? Follow me and take up your cross. And I will give you a life that you never dream of. And that's a lot of people. Yeah, you want to follow Jesus Christ, they do, but they don't want to take their cross with them. Amen? So he came to his own, and his own received him not. Because don't want to hear that there's something wrong in their life. People don't want to confess, I'm sorry. People don't want to hear that they have to give up their life to follow Jesus Christ. So John the Beloved said, Christmas story is not only about the angels, about wise men and manger. It's about the creator of the universe came to his own world and his world did not recognize him. And then he revealed himself to his own people and said, I am, which claimed the divinity. And they did not receive him. In fact, at the end, he chose Caesar. We want to have Caesar as our king. And we choose Barabbas. Remember that? Do you know if you are not living for Jesus today, do you know who you ended up living and choosing to serve instead of Jesus? Caesar or Barabbas. They said, give us the murderer, Barabbas, rather than the Prince of Peace. Wow, sometimes it blows your mind. The Prince of Peace came, but still, we want the robber. Jew. So John said, surprise number three. Are we number three? Okay, surprise number three. Not everybody did not recognize him. Not everybody turned him away. Not everybody is in the same category. He received him not. But what he said? He, yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So surprise number three, there's a remnant that God has saved. See, yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave them the right, the power to the children of God. Not physical power, not spiritual power, but the right, the authority, the privilege, the blessing of becoming children of God. Amen? They were born again. That had nothing to do with the physical means. Everyone who received him, he gave them the ability to the right, the privilege of being brought into God's family. When he came to this world, those who recognized him, the majority did not receive him, but the one who did recognize, he gave the ability, the right, the privilege of being sons and daughter of God. Amen? The Bible says, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many are on that road. And straight and narrow is the road that leads to eternal life. And few there be, there's only few, will be on that road. And the end, God is going to have a remnant people. Most people, but they will have a people. Who were those people will be? The one who recognized who he was. Hear the message and say, yes, that's what I need. And just welcome him. Imagine what it's to have an eternal life, to come into the family of God. All you have to do is, as many as receive him, welcome him. So, Pastor, what does it mean to receive him? Well, listen to the verse. In certain translation, the grammar switches the word around, but going to the King James Version, do we have the King James Version there? King James Version, it says, he came into his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. But as many as received him, to them he powered them to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. To have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, a home is being prepared for you and me. Forget where you live right now. You are going to move out pretty soon. Amen? Sister Mai? Huh? Forget about the house where you're living. Don't feel cozy and feel warm in there because you're moving out pretty soon. Brother Paul, you're in a temporary place. Pretty soon you're going to move out. Don't get too settled in your home because the home that you're going, there is no property tax. Amen? No water bills. No Southern California Edison that's turned off your light. Amen? No Verizon. A home waiting for you because you are part of the family of God. Amen? Why are we in the family of God? Because we receive him. How do we receive him? Because we believe on his name. Now, his name speaks of his person. In the Bible, when you say you believe on his name, that means you believe on that person. Not only in the name, you believe on that person. But the interesting word that I want to close with, this word is on the Greek word, the one with the underline. You see that two word, two letters? But as many as receive him, to them give them the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That word, on his name, to those who believe on his name, to those who adhere, to those who trust, to those who rely on his name. If you're here this morning, I would say, oh, I believe in Jesus Christ. 73% that goes to church believe in Jesus Christ. But they are not born again. They are not in the family of God. But they all believe on Jesus Christ. 73%, that's high. Amen? Because believing in Jesus Christ is more than mentally affirming that you believe that. 2,000 years ago, someone in the name of Jesus Christ lived. And all of it hangs on this word. And the word has this meaning. To do so, believe on Him, adheres to, trust, and rely on His name. The word on has two meanings. Listen to this. There are two connotations to it that is very important. First of all, when he said on his name, the movement towards the object that you believe in, it's not a passive. It's not a passive a word. It's an active thing. There's moving. It means to believe on his name. There is a movement towards that object or towards that person that you believe. There's a drawing of power. It means, secondly, that you settle and rest on that object that you believe in. It actually means there's a union. There's a union between that object and that person believing on that person. So it's not just he said there, oh, I believe in Jesus Christ, but it's not a mental assent or understanding. But see, when you believe, you stand up and you start coming into that person. Did you get me? It's an active, right, Brother Vic? Brother Vic, can you stand over here? Is that okay? See, when I say I believe on Vic, or I believe, do you believe this pen? I'm gonna give it to you.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give it to you, but see, the giving is not consummated until he start walking through to that object. On, so he give it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Vic. That's okay. So that, see, believing is not just you say I believe that ISIS is defeated. But if there is no ground force in there, believing in mental assent. But a lot of us, 73% of people that is going to church believe, but there is no movement. There is no consummation of being one with that person. Amen. To believe is to have an action going to that object or to that person. Amen. That's why the Bible says that you draw near and I will draw near to you. So there's that two coming in together. So that's why Jesus Christ has to leave heaven, his lofty place, and he came down. He started that. So now our response is that I want to go close to him. He who abides in me. What did it say? He abide in me. If you abide in me, I will what? I will abide in you. Amen. He started it. He's the one that initiated of drawing near to us. Amen. And lastly, do you have those number four? He gave them the right to become children of God. Amen? That's the mystery that Paul is talking about. That the Gentiles, we become the children of God. Amen? It's right there. John is talking about that he gave them the right to become children of God. Because you draw near. You draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Not only that, You gotta become one with Him. Amen? You become one with God. And that's the happen, the consummation. And then He give you the right. Amen? He give you the right to become the child of God. Is that amazing? Amen? Is that amazing, brothers and sisters? Can you imagine the day of judgment when people wakes up and find out they are not in the presence of God? Amen? But I want you that you will be in the presence of God. You might say, well, I went to International Christian Faith Church. I tried to live as a good life. I was a member of the choir. I did everything. Pastor, I don't know his name, but he told me this. But he did not tell you that you must be born again. You must believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be in one with him. Amen? You must move towards him and rest upon him, and you must become one with him. Amen? That's what believing to salvation it means. Amen? No wonder the Bible says, many will say in that day, we cast out demons, we prophesied, we healed the sick. And Jesus said what? Depart. Depart from me, who are workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And that's something that you don't want to do. You don't want to hear from Jesus Christ. So today, you want to be one with God, with Jesus Christ. You must be born again. You must believe in the name of the Lord. And that believing, I explained that, it's not only believing with your mental assent, but there's a movement. There's an action going through. Amen? I never knew you, said. Never move towards me and rest upon me and made me the center of your life if you have not received me. Amen? Jesus is not something you put on your rearview mirror or at the back of your car that says Jesus is the deal. The foundation, the cornerstone, is the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, isn't it? Amen? Hallelujah. As many did that, they were transformed. They became children of God. They will never be going to die again. If you are Christian today, they might bury you someday, but you're never going to die. Amen? Jesus said, He who believes in me, though he will die, yet shall live. Amen? Shall we stand? Oh, I believe. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If there's somebody here that you have not received the Lord Jesus Christ, you were not born again, you have not accepted him as your Lord and Savior of your life, come, worship team, come up. You know, today, this is the message, the Christmas message that we have this morning. Anybody here, and I don't want you to go without the Prince of Peace in your heart. Anybody. And again, I say that there is a movement. That means you and God will come to be one. So there's an action. If you have not received him, the Lord Jesus Christ, today is the day. Amen? Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you this morning. Thank you for the message, Lord, this Christmas message that you have for us, Lord God. And Father, we thank you, God, that with the help of your Holy Spirit, we'll continue to move towards you, Lord Jesus. And Father, we thank you, God, today. Thank you that you are here, that you have sustained this church, Lord God. And Lord, we praise you, Lord God. We glorify you, Lord Jesus, to what you have done in each one of us, Lord, in each family, in this church, Lord God, that we may be able, Lord, to give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.